Live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty. Again, you can find that USS Liberty survivor site at ussliberty.org. There is something new that is on that website that I want to talk to Gary about this morning, keeping in mind that all of this conversation about the USS Liberty and Israel's central role in that whole tragedy in regard to a deliberate, premeditated attack on the part of Israel against this American vessel on June the 8th, 1967, is presumably one of the things that the European Union would not want to discuss, presumably is one of the things that the people behind the internet regulation proposals that Steve Watson talks about today at Infowars.net would not want to see discussed, because it throws light on who and what is behind the control and the dissemination of information. And we are talking about the USS Liberty as a classic example of what happens when there is a repression, a deliberate repression of freedom of speech and academic examination of issues. I can think of no other issue where this draconian tendency has produced more tragedy than in the case of the USS Liberty and what happened to it on June the 8th, 1967. And what we continue to work with in regard to uncovering the real truth about all of the implications that surround that attack. And as I have mentioned, Mark Glenn of the American Free Press is doing a very, very lengthy series on the USS Liberty, and he is going to report to us from time to time on what he uncovers. So, Gary, how are you, sir? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Gary, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
How you doing?
Just fine.
I can hear you now.
Beautiful sunshiny morning here in Louisiana.
Hey, that's great. You know, I continue to work on this USS Liberty story. I had a major post at BATR a couple of days ago for the Columnist Guild talking about the USS Liberty. It's subsequently gone to a series of websites, including Rents.com and SIANews.com over in South Korea. And it's getting, from what I'm understanding, some pretty good mathematical statistics in regard to people looking at the article and hopefully forwarding it on to other people worldwide. But for purposes of this conversation, Gary, one of the most important things that I wanted to get to the bottom of in our chat here in the next 2 hours is something that's now on the USS Liberty website, which people can find, again, at ussliberty.org. And it's entitled War Crimes Report, filed by USS Liberty survivors. What all is involved with this?
Well, under the Department of Defense regulations, I can't cite the line and verse on that. Forgive me for that, since I don't have it in front of me. Any type of war crime that has ever been committed, when a war crimes report is filed, it's filed with the Secretary of Defense, and the Secretary of the Army is the individual that handles this report. An attorney from California, with help from ex-JAG Admiral Merlin Starring, they put together a war crimes report that proved a prima facie case of war crimes having been committed. This report was filed with the Pentagon on the 8th of June 2005, on our 38th anniversary. Now, although the law states that this would be investigated, currently all branches of government that have touched it, looked at it, fooled with it, their response back to us is, since there's no new information at this time, we have no intention of investigating the Liberty attack, when in fact we have provided additional documentation. Our government is still at this point withholding information from us. Some months back, the NSA was supposed to release all the remaining documents in regard to the USS Liberty. And for some strange reason, this hasn't happened. It has not come about. We would like to bring some type of closure to this for, you know, all the crewmen, the families. And to me, more importantly, we're just a small piece of a large picture for the American people.
Yes, and I think that that's a very, very important point to major upon. The fact, Gary, that the USS Liberty and its survivors are a microcosm of a much larger issue and with much greater implications than just what has happened to one tragic crew alone. And that is, it seems to me, the whole power and influence of the Israeli lobby and the domestic and foreign policy stances of the U.S. government, the implications of this in regard to the American government's actions and non-actions related to, you know, to the loyal veterans of this coup is another angle on this whole thing. And then it seems to me that we're talking about something I've been chatting with the audience about in the first hour, and that is the way in which corporate media obviously has a stranglehold on the dissemination of information. And presumably the Liberty is among those things that the establishment does not want discussed on the Internet either. So now we're seeing all of these attempts, as Steve Watson chronicles it for us this morning, these attempts to engage in a brand of Internet regulation that would eventually see the World Wide Web becoming just another extension of corporate media.
Well, you know, that is something that I've wondered. How long is it going to take before government shuts this down, regulates it, and does it as it has with the rest of the media? Because approximately 70% of our media in this country is basically owned by Jewish interests. There's nothing wrong with anyone owning something, provided that that fair and balanced news is put out. Stuff that is in the best interest of this country. Our interest in this country does not necessarily dovetail with the interest of some other country. I think that America should always come first when in all manners. It's quite disturbing, and like I say, I have wondered, when would control of the Internet come about? When would it be that, hey, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't post this, you can't post that? Then you're stifling our free speech. You're attacking our Constitution. It's just like this horrible event that just happened at Virginia Tech. Now, the gun rights folks are going to come out of the woodwork over this because what one insane person did, again, another attack on our Constitution. And that should never be allowed. We've got a class of congressmen and senators in Washington. I guess they've always been like this. Most of them nowadays are $2 lawyers. You know, the old saying, 99 out of 100 lawyers give the rest of them a bad name. These folks ever read the Constitution and our Bill of Rights? The things that when we actually had statesmen in this country, our founding fathers, that put together the greatest document since the Bible, and yet we've got a bunch of bought and paid for clowns up there, for using a kind word on them there, that are trying to subvert it every turn.
Yeah, and clearly to me, when I think of the whole issue of the First Amendment dealing with freedom of speech and the Second Amendment dealing with the constitutionally preserved right to bear arms, that those two things would clearly be a feather in the cap of the globalists if they could rip these things away from the American people. And presumably this relates in turn to issues like the Iraq War, and what's going on with this North American Union in terms of the fact that a very small number of people who seem to be controlling political events want to ensure that there is no opportunity for there to be discussion of or protection from what they're going to do to this country in regard to a much larger political agenda.
Well, we're being spoon-fed arson at a very slow rate, and the American public, unfortunately, is falling for this poison. To my way of thinking, you mentioned the European Union, you know, and the talk about the tying of Canada, America, and go together. You know, there's big talk in my part of, well, you're from Texas, about this I-69, this NAFTA corridor. I think it's a bad idea. It's like Ross Perot warned us many years back when he ran for president. NAFTA, what you're going to hear is a large sucking sound. All you got to do is look, and you can see that. It's not been to our advantage.
Yes, what this has done to our trade deficit with Mexico, by the same token, we have what Frosty Wooldridge was talking about yesterday, which is the potential influx of 100 million people into the country that would completely change the culture and educational orientation. The entire infrastructure of this country presumably would be altered forever if that were simply allowed to happen.
That's correct. You know, it's like the old saying, you cannot pull a small man up by tearing a big man down. And it would be the same with a nation, just at a more massive scale. You're not going to raise up any of these small countries, help them, by destroying the greatest nation that's ever been on earth.
Yes, and again, as you look at all of this, it seems to me once again that the USS Liberty has fallen into a category of being a story, just the collective story, but also the individual stories of all of the survivors, the individual stories of all of the family members of both the victims and the survivors that is not being told, because again, the telling story would get into certain other facts about what has happened in this country that the powers that be simply don't want to see disseminated.
It's like a room full of rats. The last thing they want is light put on them, because they're going to go to scurrying when you turn the light on them. Just a very country boy analogy.
Go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dad. That's fine.
Well, you know, talking about this whole situation, I'm looking through the text of this war crimes report that was committed, these war crimes committed against U.S. military personnel on June the 8th, 1967, the Israeli attack on USS Liberty, and the formal report submitted to the Secretary of the Army in his capacity as executive agent for the Secretary of Defense, June 8th, 2005. Demanding a formal official investigation of this 40 years after the fact. It is noteworthy, I think, as we continue our conversation on that, that Captain Ward Boston, who chaired the initial inquiry, he was the chief legal counsel, I guess, to the U.S. Navy's Board of Inquiry that allegedly looked into this many years ago. I think it needs to be underscored for the listeners. Because if they write their congressman about this, I'm going to wager that 99% will receive a letter back indicating that there was an investigation, that the investigation concluded that Israel was off the hook in terms of any willful, deliberate, premeditated attack on the Liberty, and that there was restitution made to the survivors in the aftermath. And I think it's important to underscore that this is a complete pack of lies in the first place. Yeah, go
ahead. That is the truth. When we finished up my last interview with you, the last thing I mentioned was the little short article that appeared on CBS and the AP October the 23rd of 2003 from Ward Boston. After the judge down in Miami, A.J. Crystal, wrote his book, The Liberty Incident, which is a compilation of half-truths, lies, for the lack of a better word, Boston had remained silent at that point for about 35 years, or 36 years. He had never said anything. And Boston came forward and said that the Naval Court of Inquiry, that our government holds up today, and says this was the investigation. Boston, being the chief legal counsel on the investigation, he was on scene, he and Admiral Kidd, says that this is not the war crimes, this is not the Naval Court of Inquiry that he signed. He said it has been altered. There have been facts that have been deleted from it, and I will simply use one of those facts. One of our officers back then, Lloyd Painter, testified to the fact of seeing that the Israeli motor torpedo boats firing on our life rafts. That's been excised from that original Court of Naval Inquiry. Lloyd has corroboration from a fellow crewman, Glenn Oliphant, that also saw this from a different vantage point on the ship. Lloyd was main deck, starboard side, aft. Glenn was on the 01 level, amidships, on the port side, and saw this happening. I mean, this happened. This isn't something we dreamed up or thought about. Lloyd's testimony and story has stayed the same all these, come June 8th, 40 years. We've not altered what we are telling. Our story, maybe I say it in a few different words than one of the other guys, but our story is the same virtually.
Yes, and in regard to this, I've mentioned it before on the show, but I think it bears mentioning again that Mark Lynn of the American Free Press is doing an expose on Judge J. Crystal to get at the bottom of who this guy really is, why he did what he did, and who was handling that. Go ahead.
Something I would like to mention about this character, Crystal. I hate to even call his name because it makes me sick in my stomach, what he has tried to do. Although his lies rebuilt a fire under us, you might say, so he helped us in a way. On a radio program, TD Radio, with Tony Del Vecchio a couple of years back, Tony had him on the air. And on the air, and this is archived, we have it in our records, Crystal states that there had been 5 congressional investigations. Well, the Liberty Veterans Association, when he did that, we posted a $10,000 reward for anyone that could ever prove there had been ever been one congressional investigation. Well, a congressman from New England checked the congressional record at the request of an associate of ours from Connecticut, and the letter is posted on our website, what he had to say. That quite simply, the only investigation that was ever done of the USS Liberty was the original Naval Court of Inquiry, which Captain Boston, through his sworn affidavit, which was entered into the congressional record, I do believe, in 2004. I can't give you the exact date on that. He lets it be known right quick that this is an altered document. It is a federal document, an official record that has been altered or adulterated.
So, in essence, Captain Boston is saying that there were certain things, as I'm remembering what has been reported from this TV appearance he made with Hesham Talawi on Current Issues TV some time ago. I did not watch that broadcast. I've seen excerpts of it. Captain Boston, as I remember it, was saying that there were certain areas, certain lines of inquiry that he was ordered not to go into. Now you're indicating that in addition to that, he's saying that the written document that was produced, the final report that he was a party to, he later discovered had been altered.
That is correct. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, back, he was presented a copy of it. What our government is now showing is the original Naval Court of Inquiry, and he says that's not the document that he signed because it's been altered and changed. When Admiral Kidd brought this document back to Washington in mid-June of 1967, it's my understanding it was in a briefcase, handcuffed to one of his wrists. When he delivered it back to Washington, he was met by 2 attorneys. And
Gary, hold on. Let's pick it up right there when we come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined by Gary Brummett, member of the USS Liberty, and he is a very active member of the USS Liberty Survivors Organization, which you can find at ussliberty.org. Gary, let's pick it up with where we were before the break. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I was saying that Admiral Isaac Kidd brought the original report back to the United States the middle part of June 1967. When he arrived back in Washington, he was met with, has sat down with two attorneys. Now, he didn't remember if these attorneys were dispatched from the White House, from State Department, wherever. But I would have to assume from past events that it was somebody that Lyndon Johnson or his crony set up for him to meet with. But the original Naval Court of Inquiry, they doctored it, let's say, to make it fit with what Israel was saying. Now, to make what Israel said was an accident, and our final conclusion is that it was an accident. Kidd and Boston were not allowed to go to Israel and question anybody over there. They did this in a 6-7 day period of the Navy Court of Inquiry, and that was it. It was over. It was locked down, closed up to the American public, and it has stayed that way all these years. Now, when Kidd got back to London, he had told Boston back at the time, and Boston has said this many times, and he's somebody you need to have on your program, and I'm sure he would be more than happy to be there to give you a look at it from that direction. But Admiral Kidd advised him that, you know, we've got to be quiet. It's over, you know. It's this. We're not going to be doing any further investigating on this. And this brings up something. Me talking about this, I have to add a little line and verse to this. In our original conversation, and I know when you interviewed Commander Dave Lewis, Dave mentioned the fact to you that Admiral Larry Geis, who was Squadron 60 commander for the 6th Fleet, told Dave Lewis shortly after the attack, I've got to tell somebody this, that I know that this will all be covered up. But we did try and help. The 6th Fleet did try and send planes to our aid, only to be recalled by McNamara, then recalled by Johnson. There was something up. Well, Dave has always, as Dave told me, he said, you know, here I am, a naval officer at this point, although Lyndon Johnson is dead, he said, I've called the President of the United States a liar. Well, guess what? What Geis told Dave Lewis about it would be covered up, he also told who at the time was Captain Engen, the skipper of the America, who was later went on up to the rank of admiral. In Admiral Engen's memoirs, he mentions the same thing that Dave Lewis mentions, that Geis had told him this would be covered up. Now, this information was found since I talked to you last. But it doesn't seem to matter what we come up with, what we find, what we put forth. Those in government have closed the door on us. And something that you said earlier on about those talking about some regulation for the Internet, that it does not surprise me, but I find that so terrible. When there's not a free flow of information to the people, factual, correct information, how can you make an informed decision? If you had a medical problem and went to the doctor and then you were having chest pains and the doctor wanted to look at your toe, well, that's not going to solve your problem. And the American public, if they're not informed of what's going on, they cannot come to a rational conclusion.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think that that's why Steve Watson's piece for InfoWars on Internet regulation is so absolutely pivotal, because if that sort of thing eventually becomes law, it's going to accomplish the complete destruction, it seems to me, of the kind of information dissemination and conversation that we need to have in a constitutional republic that we cannot have using conventional corporate media. And this USS Liberty thing is absolute proof positive evidence of this. And it seems to me once more that there is another issue here, and that is the core thread that at least I believe runs through a series of events in history. We think about the Kennedy assassination. We think about the USS Liberty. We think about 9/11. We think about the present circumstances that surround our involvement in Iraq. And talk about it, you know, seems to me that that's without alternative media, the American public is not going to be exposed to credible arguments that suggest very strongly that this whole thing with what happened to you guys is a part of a larger draconian picture.
Well, you know, I've often wondered about the Kennedy assassination. I've got to add one thing that you didn't mention. The Tonkin Gulf, the Maddox. I know personally for a fact, because I'm friends with a guy that was a first-class storekeeper on that ship, what really happened there in August of 1964.
Pick it up there when we come back, Gary. Talk a little bit about the Tonkin Resolution, and then I want to ask you about the Maurer Commission that was appointed to look into the Liberty situation. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Organization. You can find that site at www.ussliberty.org. And at the top of that page, there is an official discussion of a war crimes report that has been filed with the Secretary of the Army, presumably to go from there to the Secretary of Defense as it relates to this whole issue of the USS Liberty. This is absolutely pivotal reading, and it's entitled War Crimes Committed Against U.S. Military Personnel. Gary, we were talking a little bit about the whole issue of the Tonkin Resolution, the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, as it relates to this larger pattern of government deception. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I just bring up a little short story about the Maddox. Like I say, I've got a friend that was a crewman on board and told me the events that took place there, the actual Tonkin Gulf, the incident actually happened on August the 2nd, 1964. But, you know, the Johnson crap in the Tonkin Gulf was August the 4th, 1964. It got us into a bogus war. It was a false flag operation, which, as we know, this our government has been part of a number of false flag operations. Something funny that I found out, or I say funny, kind of strange, in dealing with some other folks that were investigating the Maddox in the Tonkin Gulf. The Maddox had one 50 caliber round that had hit the hit the superstructure, made a penetration. This little penetration was cut out, a patch was welded over, ground down, and painted over. And the individuals that were investigating this and my conversations with them, I told them about this, and they says, "Well, do you know who used that as a paperweight on their desk?" I said, "I have no earthly idea. I didn't know it existed or, you know, was in existence." And they said, "Admiral Moore had that on his desk." Now, Admiral Moore was as staunch a supporter as we had anywhere. He always knew that it wasn't an accident. But regardless of what he tried to do for us, a number of past congressmen and senators, past ambassadors, government officials that were in the Middle East back at the time in 67 when we were attacked, I would bring up Admiral Merlin Starring, because he helped with the he worked on the original Naval Court of Inquiry, or he looked at part of it, and it was taken away from him. He never finished his analysis of it. He helped write the war crimes report that we filed against, or filed with our government 2 years ago. And Admiral Starring bird-dogged this thing in Washington for us for over a year, only to be told, you know, that we're not going to investigate it. We consider this a closed matter. Well, you know, we proved war crimes had been committed, the firing on life rafts under the Geneva Convention of 1949. It was a war crime. But I guess, you know, that rule of law, for whatever reason, it does not apply to the USS Liberty and to the crewmen.
Yes, and let's talk a little bit about this whole thing against the backdrop of the Moore Commission, which Admiral Moore chaired, which came to a completely different set of conclusions from what the establishment report indicated, and certainly a completely different set of conclusions from what Judge Jay Crystal came up with in his book, The Liberty Incident. How did the Moore Commission come together initially?
Dadgum, I hate to there was an organization there in Virginia that he was part of, and I know that his commission, I think Ambassador James Akins was part of it, Admiral Starring, Admiral Hill. Those were some of the people that owned this commission. Now, their findings were entered into the congressional record and can be viewed there. I'm not sure how you go there and request that information. I've never made a request myself.
I can just interject for a moment. People can do that by going to http://Thomas, don't put in www, just put Thomas.loc, which stands for Library of Congress, .gov. Thomas.loc.gov. That's how you'd get there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This was placed in the congressional record by Representative Conyers of Michigan. Conyers has supported us. He hadn't been afraid in the past to step up and say things, but he's a 22-term congressman, and he usually wins with about 75 to 80% of the vote up there, so he evidently is not one that's real intimidated by people. But you got one man out of 435. That's you need a whole lot more to get anything done.
Yes. Well, as far as the Moore Commission itself is concerned, they made a series of findings, and as I'm going down the laundry list of what they came up with, it gets down to, I think, 12 basic points. In regard to those points, what do you think are the most key things that came out of that Moore investigation? Keeping in mind, of course, as I'm looking at the people who were on that commission, Admiral Moore, of course, United States Navy retired, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Raymond G. Davis, United States Marine Corps, former Assistant Commandant of the United States Marine Corps. Rear Admiral Merlin Starring, whom you've already made reference to, Gary, who is a former Judge Advocate General of the United States Navy, and Ambassador James Akins, retired, former U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia. So these are the qualifications of the folks that we're speaking of. And in regard to the findings that came out of that commission, what do you think were the most significant ones?
Mark, you've got me at a disadvantage. I do not have that in front of me to look at. Do you have a specific question that you can ask me from it? I'm sure I can answer it, but I just don't have that document.
No, I understand. As I'm looking at the document, which I printed up last night, let's just take point number one. Israel and Judge Jay Crystal, mimicking the Israeli line in his book, The Liberty Incident, of course, tried to indicate that this was an accident. It was not a deliberate, premeditated attack on an identified American vessel. But point number one has something within it that I think is absolutely key, and that is that the Moore Commission indicated that Israel launched this attack after 8 hours, 8 hours of aerial surveillance of the Liberty. What do you think the implications of that are?
I mean, it goes to prove that there's no way that they didn't know who we were. About every 30 to 45 minutes from the time they started reconning us at first light that day up till just, I'd say, 30 minutes prior to the actual attack, they reconned us. They knew who we were. They knew where we were. By their own foolish admission, early on, they said that they had identified the USS Liberty as an American intelligence gathering ship or Signet unit, signal intelligence. They had placed us on their war room charts. They'd done this through the Jane's fighting ship, which is a British manual that lists all ships from all countries. I mean, they knew who we were. There was no doubt about who we were. They didn't want us there. They'd done their best to remove us from the spot. And the only reason that they didn't, when the torpedo that hit us, the only reason that ship didn't sink was when you build a ship, the ship has got ribs every 3 or 4 feet, was the case with this ship. That torpedo hit a main frame. It didn't come through and explode. It exploded as it hit us, you might say. Had it came into the ship and exploded, it would have blowed out the other side of the ship, and we would have broken half and sank immediately. And I just, I'm hard-pressed to think that any of us would still be around. I think we'd have all went down, and as we called it in the Navy, Davy Jones's locker. We'd have all bit the bullet that day.
Yes, and, you know, thinking again about the horror of this whole thing, it's like we're compartmentalizing things into different areas that all of which need to be examined. One is the horror of the events of that day, both at the time as well as 40 years later for the people who went through it and who did survive. We're talking about the tragedy with the family survivors the family members of the survivors as well as those who did not make it. Then we're talking about the facts of the attack, which either support or do not support the official story on what happened and Israel's official story in regard to what happened. And then, of course, the larger political context of all of this, which we've been chatting about here for the last 45 minutes or so.
Well, you look at what Admiral Starring has to say. You look at Admiral Moore, what he has to say, what Ambassador Akins has to say. These were all people on the ground, some in area, some with firsthand knowledge. And, you know, when these people speak out and they're telling the truth, they have no reason not to tell the truth. Our government story unravels real quick, and you realize that there's extreme duplicity between elements of our government under the Johnson administration and elements of the Israeli government that were working together to cover this up, to varnish over it, to make the original Naval Court of Inquiry dovetail with what Israel had to say. But, I mean, what they're saying and what they've done doesn't fly. It's like the comparison between us and El-Kassar, the ship that Israel says they thought we were. The El-Kassar was 8,000 tons lighter than we are. 8,000 tons at 16 million pounds. It was also 195 feet shorter than we were. It didn't look anything like us. None of their story will hold water if you look at it. I mean, and you don't have to even look at it close. Just take a passing glance in the dark, and you can see their story doesn't hold water.
Yeah, as one, speaking of myself here, as one who is not an intelligence analyst, I am not a military pilot. Professionally, I have been nowhere near anything like this, and yet when I saw the pictures of the USS Liberty alongside those of the El-Kassar, I thought, gee, this is prima facie evidence that the Israeli version of this is a pack of lies, because even a non-trained, non-specialist, non-expert like me in military matters and aviation and military intelligence matters can glance at those photographs and say, hey, there's no way that this could have been a case of mistaken identity. So if I can figure that out, presumably people on these various boards of inquiry should be able to figure this out as well.
Let me say something about Admiral Moore at this point. During World War II, he was a Navy pilot. He had spent countless hours in the air back at the time in the Pacific Theater identifying different types and kinds of ships and all types and kinds of weather. This man was excessively qualified in all fields of identification, what have you. When somebody like him finds it real hard to believe that you couldn't tell that that was an American ship, when somebody like him speaks, he was a very, very credible individual. I just hate so very much that he is no longer with us. He's been dead now for about 3 years. But whatever Admiral Moore had to say was correct and was factual. Now, there's the detractors out there that have tried to take away from his memory. As A.J. Crystal has done. But Admiral Moore was an honorable man. He was an American patriot. He was a Navy man through and through. He is the only man in U.S. naval history that commanded both Atlantic and later Pacific fleets. He was commander of naval, he was CNO, commander of naval operations. I think I'm saying that correct. And then he was head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mean, the man had done everything in his almost 42-year career in the Navy.
Yes, and again, I think it bears underscoring the fact that when you contrast Moore's biography with Jay Crystal's, it's absolutely laughable that anyone, and I mean anyone, could believe even one sentence of Crystal's book. I mean, the man, speaking of Crystal in this instance, he is not qualified in any sense of the word to have written that book. He's not a professional historian. He's not a military intelligence expert. He wasn't there that day. He has contradicted the stories of countless credible eyewitnesses. And of course, for his book, he is on a prima facie basis, presumably relying upon Israeli governmental and intelligence sources for the volume that he produced.
Well, let me give you an example of some of his garbage. In his book, he purports that some of the pictures he has there are from the Curse of Flight Leaders. It shows a picture of the USS Liberty. This is supposedly an attack photo. I looked at the photograph 3 years ago, and I was talking with the attorney out in California that wrote the war crimes report and provided it to me. And I thought, well, this picture doesn't look right, but, you know, knowing nothing of forensics and analysis, I didn't know what it was that was wrong. Well, this picture that he was using, in reality, was a docking photo that had been airbrushed, and a very poor job of it once it was looked at by someone that knew how to do that kind of work. It was a docking photo of us when we got back into Little Creek, Virginia, after we had been repaired in Malta and brought the ship back to the States. It wasn't taken from no Israeli flight or a nose camera. I mean, the guy is patently dishonest. He can't tell the truth. We've had numerous crewmen that have tried to engage him, that he has told has been less than truthful when he spoke about them, one being Commander Dave Lewis, one being the attorney out in California. This guy will not respond to any of these people because he knows he's lying. And he, what he's had to say can't stand the light of day.
Yes, and, you know, when you think about a guy like this who is a U.S. Federal judge, in this case a bankruptcy court judge, absolutely amazing that we're not simply talking about someone who is shilling for a foreign lobby at the personal and political expense of the survivors of the USS Liberty, but we're talking about a guy who presumably, as a judge, understands something about the implications of lying, and yet he quite clearly here is engaging in a lot of dissimulation about the events of June the 8th, 1967, and their aftermath. We'll be back with Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
The trick is to ride, make it to the bed.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. You can find that website at ussliberty.org, keeping in mind that that war crimes report and the information in that report as it relates to the Moorer Commission is absolutely essential reading for every American, because it not only calls into question the official story that the United States government has been trying to stick with in the last 40 years, which basically is a carbon copy of the Israeli government's story, but it's part of a seamless thread that runs through a series of events in American history just in the 20th century that suggest an absolute crisis of confidence in our government in regard to telling the truth to the American people. We talk about Pearl Harbor, the Kennedy assassination, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which led to our involvement in Vietnam. Certainly you can add to that the USS Liberty tragedy and 9/11, among many others, where there is a complete disconnect between reality and truth on the one hand and spin on the other that has created an absolute crisis in what was the American Republic. And we hope that Steve Watson's story today at InfoWars does not come to pass. I'm afraid that it will, that you will see internet regulation on the part of the powers that be that will attempt to shut off the kind of dissemination of information that informs the public about real issues, which presumably includes this USS Liberty tragedy, which you can read more about at ussliberty.org. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at 1-800-724-2719. Or going to the web and contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org. Through those same contact points, you can have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. And most significantly, you can go to republicbroadcasting.org to find out what you need to know about the Truckers Truck Out Rally that's coming up this coming week, where in all 48 continental U.S. states, the legislature Capitol buildings will be circled and shut down bumper to bumper, three trucks wide, as well as an appearance on the part of these truckers in Washington, D.C. That's going to take place this coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Go to republicbroadcasting.org for more information. Frosty Wooldridge's site at saveamericafund.org. Frosty was a guest, of course, here yesterday on my show for an hour, and he's also on RBN, is another place that you can go to for the latest in regard to what's going to happen this week with that truck out rally, which is related not simply to the survivability of American trucking as it relates to this Mexican influx, but we're also talking about fighting the North American Union. Do we want a world government? Do we want a free trade zone from South America to Canada? Or do we want to see the United States of America preserved as a sovereign nation state? That's what I think is involved in all of this. And again, for more information on that, you can go to republicbroadcasting.org or go to Frosty Wooldridge's site that he's come up with in conjunction with Wanda Piatti of Los Angeles, which is entitled SaveAmericaFund.com, I believe. WND had it posted at .org, but I have discovered now that it is .com. We'll be back with Gary Brummett of the USS Liberty, resuming our conversation about the Moorer Commission and other events related to the Liberty investigation. Mark Gankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, and the broadcast. Stay tuned.
With recent